Good evening and welcome to day three of the Tory Party Conference for Tuesday's Correspondence Highlights. Joining me once again is John Craig, our Chief Political Correspondent. I suppose we have to start with Boris, really, don't we?
He was only in Birmingham for a few hours, but he stormed in like a hurricane, really. And there was a huge media scrum as he made his way from the hotel next to the conference centre to the hall where he was speaking. Now, there are those who said he deliberately chose a rather long route so he could make the most of the attention. He could have taken a much shorter route. But, of course, when he got in the hall, there was a great reception for him. His speech was in two halves, really. There was a domestic agenda. A few sly digs at his new enemy, Philip Hammond, who's been criticising him here in recent days. He also trashed the Prime Minister's policy of changing stop and search. He said that was politically correct nonsense. And he had a few good jokes about the Labour Party as well. And the second half of his speech was all about Brexit and a real demolition job on the Prime Minister's Chequers plan. And of course, when he used that famous phrase, that slogan, the room erupted.
There is time, this is the moment, to chuck Chequers.
Yeah, as you say, in that first half of the speech, it seemed more like a leadership pitch than the second half, didn't it? He did at one point rattle through his sort of achievements as London mayor and talking about going on first trips to South American countries as foreign secretary for 50 years. It did seem a bit like he was saying, you know, a leader in waiting, perhaps.
He set out his credentials, yes. There was a long list of his achievements as London mayor, or so as he sees them. Critics might dispute some of his claims. And yes, he talks about his record as foreign secretary. Now, his critics would claim that wasn't very distinguished either. But certainly it was, setting out his credentials and personal manifesto, if you like, building more homes, cutting taxes, money for the National Health Service. Yes, that was very much a personal manifesto. And, of course, while he didn't actually announce he was challenging Theresa May for the top job, everybody knows he is.
They mentioned Theresa May there, and she certainly wasn't mentioning Mr Johnson, but what she was talking about was immigration. Moving to the sort of post-Brexit immigration, hoping to bring down the number of low-skilled migrants coming here. I suppose, would you say it was aimed at some sort of red meat for the Brexiteers to maybe try and take the wind out of Mr Johnson's sails a little bit, beat him to it, if you like?
Well, the timing of the announcement was significant because we all assume that this was meant to be in the Prime Minister's speech on the final day of the conference, but it was brought forward, of course, to be a spoiler for Boris Johnson. As you say, a big announcement on immigration, post-Brexit policy, a migration revolution, giving priority to skilled workers coming from Europe. And the effect of this policy will be that those with low skills or not no skills at all, well, they're going to find it much more difficult to come to the UK. These recommendations actually were first made by the Migration Advisory Committee a few weeks ago. There's going to be a white paper in the autumn, legislation in next year's Queen's Speech. But the Prime Minister on the day of Boris Johnson's arrival was keen to talk about her migration proposals.
Yes, we're committed to bringing net migration down to those sustainable levels as we've promised before. But what's important about this is we're now going to be able to deliver on the vote of the referendum and ensure that we can take back control of our borders.
So that was one big policy announcement from the Prime Minister. What can we expect from her big speech tomorrow? It can't really go much worse than last year, I suppose.
Last year, of course, she was presented with a spoof P45. She had a coughing fit, and then the letters started to drop off the set during her speech, and at the end of it she gave her husband Philip a huge hug as if to say thank goodness that's over. This time in the hall, of course, they've got electronic screens so the letters can't fall off. I suppose the worst that could happen is that a light bulb could blow. A light bulb could blow, yes. She will want to show that there is more to this government than Brexit. A lot of critics say that this government is totally consumed by Brexit and there's not much else on offer. So she will want to show and tell not just her own activists but the country at large that the government has got plenty to say on issues like the National Health Service, on tax and so on, and particularly house building. On the big screens around this conference centre, the headline is Opportunity, and then there's a great long list of measures. Actually, building more homes is at the bottom of the list. And I think a lot of people would probably like to see that a bit higher up. Delivering Brexit is number one, NHS number two, the economy is number three. So she will want to show that she's got plenty of fuel in the tank, if you like. All these Tories saying she'll be out by the end of the year or by next March when Brexit happens. She'll want to show she's got a pretty decent domestic policy agenda to carry her through until the next general election. Now, whether she will survive until the next general election, not many Tory MPs think she will, but she'll want to show that she's got a positive agenda as well as Brexit. Eye-catching, she'll want to respond to some of the ideas that Labour were putting forward. No doubt we'll hear an attack on Labour. But all this week, I've been struck by the number of times that ministers speaking have attacked Mr Corbyn, responded to what he was saying last week. So clearly the Tories a bit rattled by Mr Corbyn, and Theresa May will want this speech to be a fight back.
A lot of Tories here, whether they support Boris Johnson or Theresa May, want her to change tack on her Brexit policy, move towards a Canada plus plus model, or super Canada, or Canada super casual fragilistic expialidocious, as Jacob Rees-Mogg called it. But do you think there's going to be any movement on that, or do you think she's too tied to that policy now?
If there is any movement, it might be a subtle change. I was talking to Jacob Rees-Mogg, and he was saying that, I said to him, what would you like to be in the speech? He said, well, what I'd like to be in the speech is for her to chuck checkers, but I'm not expecting her to do that, he said. Might be a little of finessing, bit of tweaking, the odd nuance here. It's interesting that in some interviews this week, once she gave to the Sunday Times and a television interview on Sunday, she talked about the checkers plan being the best at the moment. She said the at the moment twice. So perhaps there is some room for a little bit of compromise, a little bit of tweaking. Remember, there's some more talks due to take place between the government and Michel Barnier in the coming days. And she was talking at the weekend, the Prime Minister, about it was all down to, it's all really up to the EU to start making some concessions now. But I think she may have to make some of her own. Of course, we shouldn't forget that the big issue, of course, that's really the big stumbling block is this Irish border. And it's interesting that Arlene Foster, who leads the DUP, but is not a Westminster MP, but some of the Westminster MPs like Sammy Wilson and Geoffrey Donaldson have been here this week.
And Nigel Dodds as well, I think.
And Nigel Dodds, who's their leader at Westminster. They are really putting the pressure on the Prime Minister. So she's torn between wanting to perhaps make some progress on the Irish border, although, of course, she talks about protecting the union. But all the time, she's got the DUP breathing down her neck. And, of course, she needs their votes in Parliament, so she's got to keep them sweet.
We did also hear a speech from the Home Secretary today. Not quite as packed to the rafters as for a former foreign secretary, but he had some announcements on forced marriage and also, again, on the issue of immigration, sterner language tests for people wanting to move in.
Well, what we've seen this on day three of this conference, really, is, if you like, an audition for the top job between Sajid Javid and Boris Johnson. Style versus substance. Boris Johnson's got all the style, and some would say not much substance. Plenty of substance from Sajid Javid, but a lot of people say he lacks charisma. Yes, the hall was only about half full, partly because he was the last speech before lunch when Boris Johnson was doing his fringe. And I think a lot of people were queuing up and not listening to him. But it was interesting. He told his life story about how his father came to this country from Pakistan with hardly any money. Talked about his pride and his brother being a chief superintendent in the police. And it was quite an inclusive speech. I mean, he talked about, yes, he criticised the grooming gangs and said it. Made him sad and angry that they were often Pakistanis. Yes, he talked about tackling forced marriages. He talked with some compassion about Grenfell as well. I thought the most surprising bit of his speech was when he praised Diane Abbott. And he said, we might not agree with her, but you should pay tribute to the fact that she was the first black woman MP. And they were so stunned in the hall that they applauded. So probably one and only time Diane Abbott will ever be applauded at a Tory conference.
Quite some skill to get a Tory audience to do that. OK, thanks very much for that, John.